Good morning. We are going to discuss Tamei mitzvos today, not the reasons for particular mitzvos, but the reasons for mitzvos in general. I chose this topic today because continuing our theme of discussing the parsha, and we'll see in a couple of minutes, not at the beginning, how this is actually very much related to how we view Akedas Yitzchak. And so I'd like to get to that. But first, we'll start with the more general point of the reasons for mitzvos. So if you look at the first source in the Makoros, the Pasuk over here tells us, according to the Ramban, why Hashem commanded us in mitzvos. V'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem alokecha shoel meimach, ki im liras Hashem alokecha, Aleches b'chol derachav, lava usav, lavod es Hashem alokecha b'chol lavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, l'shmor es mitzvos Hashem, b'es chukosav, v'asher anokhim mitzavcha hayom, l'tov lach, for your good. So the Ramban explains that l'tov lach is telling us why Hashem commanded us to do mitzvos. It's for our good. The Rambam, Mar Nevuchim, you have that over here as well, says the same thing. The purpose of mitzvos is to help us, laho ilenu. And he quotes another pasuk that emphasizes this, latov lanu kol yamim, l'chayosenu kahayom hazeh. Hashem commanded us the mitzvos, that's the beginning of that pasuk, for our everlasting good, to give us everlasting life. The Ramban adds that logically, also, this must be true. In other words, what other purpose would there be of mitzvos? Hashem didn't command mitzvos for himself. He doesn't need us to do mitzvos. They couldn't conceivably be for him because he lacks nothing. So the only imaginable, conceivable explanation for mitzvos is because mitzvos benefits us. And the Ramban here quotes the pasuk in Iyov that emphasizes this next source. Im chatasa matif albo, v'rabu psha'echa matasa lo, im tzadakta matitein lo, oma miyadcha yikach. If you've sinned, how have you hurt him? If your sins are many, you haven't harmed him. Im tzadakta, if you do mitzvos, if you're a tzadik, what have you given him? What could he take from you? As HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. So obviously, mitzvos are, by definition, for us. So then the question is, that's pretty straightforward. Well, how do mitzvos help us? So this is where the Ramban teaches us something very, very interesting, very fundamental. That's why I hope you all had a chance to learn the Ramban carefully. And we'll point to some of the highlights, though again, you really have to read this Ramban very carefully inside. And which we're not going to be doing. It's long, but again, I hope everyone had a chance to do that before now. So the Ramban deals with a medrash. Here's the medrash over here, which seems to say something very strange. The medrash writes like this. V'chima echbes lo la'kodesh baruch hu ben sheshochet es ha'behem av ochel o imnocher v'ochel. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care if you do shchita or nechira? Shchita is when you slaughter from the front to the neck. That's kosher, valid shechita. Nechira is if you were to polex the animal, meaning to say you severed the head from the back through the spine. So obviously one is kosher, one isn't. So does God care? Does God really care? You always hear people asking that question. Do you think God cares if I do? Klum atam o'ilo or klum atam aziko? Have you helped him or have you harmed him? If you do shechita ksheri, you eat kosher meat. Does God care? Do you help God by eating kosher meat? Does God care if you eat pig or kosher food? Have you harmed him? Have you helped him? Amar Shlomo, im chachamta chachamta lecha v'gomer. Halo nitnu ha-mitzvos ala letzarev bahenes ha-brios. So mitzvos were given to purify the brios. V'Yisrael, shenemar, kol imras Hashem tzerufa. Lama shehe magen alecha, shenemar magen hu l'chol hachosim bo. It's interesting. The Rambam holds that every mitzvah has a purpose. And in fact, he offers tamei mitzvos So every mitzvah has a purpose. And therefore, the Rambam is troubled by this, because this medrash sort of sounds like the mitzvos don't actually have a purpose. So how does the Rambam explain this? So the Rambam has a very interesting and controversial interpretation of this medrash, which we'll get back to at a later point. The Rambam thinks that the medrash is teaching us that though mitzvos have a reason, sometimes the details of the mitzvos don't have a reason. We'll get back to the Rambam's reading of this, I don't know, today, but at some point, I hope. But the Ramban says no. What this medrash is teaching us is that mitzvos are meant to purify a person. What do we mean purifying? To refine us, right? To be mitzaref, to refine us. So again, this is the Ramban that you saw. And we're not going to read the Ramban inside, because I hope you've seen it already. But let's sort of bring out a couple of points that he's saying and analyze them and think about them. So he says that, what does it mean mitzvos are meant to be mitzarif, to refine? So refining is the process of purifying metals. When you refine a metal, you rid the metal of its impurities. You produce, for example, silver ore, pure silver out of silver ore. In other words, in the ground, silver is mixed with other things. You refine it, and that will rid it of the bad qualities and strengthen the good qualities. And the same thing happens with mitzvos. Mitzvos refine us as people. They rid us of our bad midos. They purify us, they strengthen us, just like the process of refining metal. And here is a very important point, because there are some mitzvos where perhaps that's obvious, but the Ramban is saying that the Medrash is teaching us that this is true for all mitzvos. Just to give perhaps an interesting illustration, the Sefer Chinuch on Staka, which you have over here. If I were to ask you, what was the purpose? What's the purpose of the mitzvah of tzedakah? I would have said to help the aniyim, to take care of the aniyim. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that's incorrect. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take care of the aniyim, he would have done it himself. He's the one that made them poor in the first place. So what's the purpose of the mitzvah of tzedakah? Let's just read what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. Shorash HaMitzvah Shiratza HaKel Lios Bruav Milumadim Umurgalim B'midas HaChesed V'Rachamim. He wanted us to be kind people, to be people that are Bale Chesed, Bale Rachamim, Ki Himida Meshubachas, Umitoch Hechsher Gufam Bemidos Atovos, Yu Ruyim Lakabal Satova. If we perfect our Midos, so then we're Ra'oi to be Mekabel that Tova. Kemosha Amarnu, Shechalos Hatov Vehabracha Li Olam Al Hatov Lo Behapcho. Tova is chal, it's like a brisker shtickle. Tova is chal on people that are good. We'll explain more what this means in a minute. Uveitiv Hashem Yisbarach letovim, yushlam chavtso shechafetz leitiv leolam. What he's basically saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us olam haba. He wants us to be re'uyim for the greatest possible gift. But to experience that tova, we need to be tovim. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, in his great love and kindness for us, to be ra'oi, to be mekabel that tova. So we have to become good people. V'imlav mitzad shoresh zeh, halo hu Baruch Hu yaspik la'ani dey machsaro zulaseinu. Ela shehaya michazdo Baruch Hu, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to become tovim. How do we become a good person? By doing acts of goodness. By doing acts of kindness, we become habituated to doing those things. We become kind people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to become kind people. And therefore, he commands us to give tzedakah. He gives us the opportunity to give tzedakah. We're his shluchim, as it were, to give tzedakah. This actually relates to the also a second way to the parsha in terms of Midas Dom. So that is the Shoresh. In other words, again, what the Ramban, the Chinuch here is taking this idea of the Ramban, that the purpose of mitzvos is to be mitzarefas, is to be mizakechas, to purify us. Naturally, we are self-centered. Hashem gives us a mitzvah of tzedakah, which helps us become kind and generous people. The Ramban adds that mitzvos are to protect us then from physical harm or negative character traits or false theological beliefs. And all this, the Ramban says, is to be able to know God. So that's what the Medrash is teaching us, that God doesn't benefit from the mitzvos. We do. That's what the Medrash is saying. Does God care whether we shech from the front or the back? No, he doesn't care in the sense that he's not harmed. We don't help him when we do valid shechita. We don't hurt him when we do invalid shechita. But we become kind people. Now, how does shechita make us a kind person? We'll get there in a moment. But first, the Ramban points out that this idea, though it seemingly is obvious, has to be stressed because it's at odds with the superficial reading of many psukim. Because many psukim imply that we do give HaKadosh Baruch Hu something when we do mitzvahs, especially in the realm of karbanos. It's karbani lachmi li yishai reach ni cholchi. We are, as it were, giving him food, giving him light. He needs it. We help him. And he says that's not true. What about those psukim? We'll get back to that in a couple of minutes. But that's certainly not true. Mitzvos are meant to purify us from the false beliefs that we might otherwise have, and therefore will be proper Ovdei Hashem. So let's give the example that we mentioned before of shechita. So the Medrash says, shechita is an example of this. God gets nothing out of our correctly slaughtering the animal, but we become habituated to kindness. Why? Because the laws of shechita are designed to minimize the pain of the animal. Shechita, because it's in the front of the neck, minimizes the pain. And were shechita to be from the back of the neck, it would be very painful. Because it's in the front of the neck, so for, you know, first of all the halachos really of shechita relate to this. The shochet has to use a very sharp knife, and it has to be in the front of the neck. And because he originally, you know, he cuts those frontal structures at the beginning, the animal loses consciousness very quickly, and it has to be without stopping. You can't. All, you know, the basic five halachos of shechita, one could see them all in terms of minimizing pain to the animal. So why is that? So the Ramban says that the purpose, it's not necessary, it's not for God. Ramban here tells us it's not even for the animal per se, but rather it's for us to cause us to become sensitive, kind people that think about the pain of others and even the pain of animals. There's a hara here, which I don't think we're going to do today. I would like to get back to it, which is that the Ramban in Parshas Bereishis in Perek Aleph implies that the purpose of shechita is because God's concerned about the pain of the animals. Here, he emphasizes a different point, which is it's to make us kind people. So is there a stira? I don't think so. I think that the Ramban tells us that when it comes to the Torah's concern about animal pain and animal cruelty, there is both a concern for the suffering of the animal. That's what he emphasizes in Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavtes, and also concern for the human effect, in other words, the harm to our character if we were to not be cognizant of animal pain. And that's what is emphasized over here. So that's one example of this. There's more to that potential stira nisha than the Rambam in the Ramban, but maybe not for now. Let's focus on this Ramban. So the Ramban, let's give another example from this Medrash. So the Medrash says the same thing is true when it comes to eating kosher food. right? Why don't we eat pig? So the Ramban understands that what's the Medrash telling us? That non-kosher food tarnishes our soul. It would prevent us from the spiritual refinement that's necessary to know the truth. And thus, the Torah prohibits certain pleasures so that we can develop a fine soul and be perceptive to the truth. That's really what we're doing. Okay. And then the Ramban adds something that's also very important. He says, this is true even when it comes to mitzvos that are all about showing honor and kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even mitzvos, he says, like constantly remembering the Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says, these two are for us. Why? So that way we'll know the truth and be worthy of his protection. The Ramban says, all the praise of God, it's not like it means anything to him. It's not like he needs us to praise, you know, otherwise he'll have low self-esteem or something. No. The pshat is that it's for us. It's to inculcate within us values and midos. And the Ramban cites a Yerushalmi that emphasizes this point, that even mitzvos like lulav, sukkah, tefillin, they're not commanded for his glory, but to have compassion on our souls. So just to summarize, I guess, the Ramban basically says that the basic goals of mitzvos is really two of them, I think he says. Number one is liosenu nikiyei ha-nefesh chachamim maskilei ha-emes b'li sigei machshavos raos. So we could call that perfection of the mind and the soul. And examples of that include things like Yetzias Mitzrayim and eating kosher food. And then the second point is that limno amida miguna, so we could call that perfection of the character. And that includes mitzvos like shechita and shiluach hakein and the like. We'll get more into shiluach hakein in a minute. And the Ramban writes, and this is very important, he says that everybody agrees to this. This is agreed upon by all of our teachers. In other words, why is it so important? Because if we're going to see ideas in Chazal that seem to contradict this, that seem to imply that maybe we are giving something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our mitzvos, so it's not the pshat that there's a machlokas here, right? Okay, maybe it's a machlokas in Chazal. No. Because Ramban, we're going to have some other resolution, but Ramban saying that there's no machlokas about this point. All of Chazal agree to this basic idea. Yes, Yonatan.
What about the mitzvah of zik, or the concept of zikir even though?
Okay, we'll talk about that. Good question. There are lots and lots of kashas on this, hundreds of kashas, and we're gonna Be'ezras Hashem address them. But many lasas nachas ruach lebar yisparach shemo zekei livanei. We can go on and on in terms of questions. Kol ma shegarasi luchvodiv barasif. Right, a lot of kashas, and we're gonna b'li nadir address them. Yes, Zev.
Could maybe also explain again how kashrus, how that could like affect our spirituality? How that so, makes more like wholesome? Yeah.
Well, so the Ramban says that there's two. Not all kashrus is the same. So some kashrus, like shechita, is to prevent midos megunos, and some kashrus, like kosher animals, are not, is to prevent the timtum halev that would result in our eating these minim. They might still be chukim in a sense that we don't know how. I don't know why it is harmful for my soul to eat non-kosher animals. Maybe we could try to answer that. Ramban doesn't answer that question now, but he tells us what is the purpose of the mitzvah. So he tells us that the purpose of the mitzvah is that if we want to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have to be pure and refined. And eating these foods will prevent that. We won't, and it's very interesting, he emphasizes understanding the truth. So the timtum halev that will result from eating these foods will prevent us from recognizing and appreciating the truth. sometimes a person will stare the truth in the face and it won't set in. They won't have the kalim to be makabel it. So somehow or another, again, we don't know how, maybe we'll have a chance, not today, but to talk about how. But the Ramban here doesn't tell you how, but he tells you what the reason is. What is the Medrash telling you, right? Right now, today, the Ramban is just trying to explain the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that the purpose of eating kosher food is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs it. It's because it's harmful to us. Not physically harmful, though there are some mitzvot, some things the Ramban says are asur because they're physically harmful to us. They're dangerous in some way. But when it comes to non-kosher food, it's not necessarily because it's physically harmful, but it's spiritually harmful to our neshama. So therefore, it's for us in that sense. Okay. So maybe we'll just add one more makor before we get to the questions that we were bringing up, like Yehonatan raised. But just one more makor that maybe will help us a little more in this. The Sefer HaChinuch, you have over here, Mitzvah Tzadi Hei. Like he says the same yisod here of the Ramban, but he clarifies a little bit in terms of why it's so important to refine our character and our soul. And he writes, let's take a look, Dabini, ki kol asher yagia etzel Hashem yisbarach ba'asos b'nei Adam kol mitzvosav, einenu rak shechafetz Hashem yisbarach leitiv lanu. All that God gets from our mitzvos, it's not for him, it's only because he wants to be native to us. Uviyos Adam mukhshar, same idea we saw in Chinuch before, that when a person is mukhshar to be mekabel that tova, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be native to him. So the derech of tova, the derech of mitzvahs, the purpose of mitzvahs is to make us good people. Begomer ad letov lach. Kilomar. Einenu shoel meimach davar be'asoscha mitzvosav. Rak sheratza betovash hagadol lehetiv lucha. Ukimo shekas v'acharav. Hein l'ashem alokach ha-shamayim shmei ha-shamayim. Arts v'chol shirbas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything we do. Kilomar ve'einenu tzarech l'mitzvosecha rak me'avaso oscha l'schuscha. It's all l'schuscha. Why? So that he could be native to you. Right? So the purpose of mitzvos is so as to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to native us, to us, which requires that we be ra'ui for that tova, and the mitzvos are the ultimate ways to achieve that, to facilitate that. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch over here adds something that's very important, which we'll return to later, which is just because we know, we're aware, we appreciate that the purpose of mitzvos is for us, to be native to us, that shouldn't be our motivation for doing mitzvos. We should be motivated by love. We shouldn't be thinking, ideally at least, about that unimaginable reward that we will receive for doing the mitzvos. So that's what he writes here. V'yesh ba'osei mitzvos yasimu magamas pineihem el hatova ha-me'utedes alayhem ba'asiyasan levad ki yedu shebesibasan tanuach alayhem abracha v'atov. They'll get rewarded if you do it for the purpose of reward, but you won't reach the ultimate tachlis. They'll be over Hashem Eava. Atchiyasimu kol kavanas hachanas gufam kidei lashlem chafetz Hashem yisbarach l'rov chashkamosa. The el hato ls hameutad lahem be'esek hahu lo yashisu leiv. They're not thinking about, they're not paying attention to that great goodness that they'll get. Bihamala gdola sha'alu aleha ha'avos hakadosha mashlosha v'harme b'nei machareihem zecher kulam levracha v'zosia madrega aliona sh'efsher leben adam malos. To be over Hashem Ehava. In fact, the Rishonim point out, relating to the Akedah, that the Akedah showed that Avram Avinu was an Oiv Hashem. Even though it's interesting, the Pasuk mentions Ate Adat Ki Arelu Kimata, because it also shows Yira, but the Rambam and Ron Ruchan, Chazal as well, emphasize Avas Hashem, because nobody could have given up on their son, killed their son, their only son, the son that they loved so much, they waited so much for, if it was just motivated to do mitzvahs because of reward. Because no reward would have caused a person to do something like that. It was only because he was Obed Me'ava. So again, the Sefer Chinuch tells us a very important thing. Even as we are fully aware that all mitzvahs are letov lanu, that shouldn't be our motivation. It's something we could know about, but that shouldn't be our motivation. Okay, so now let's turn to Yehonatan's question. There are a number of sources that seem to emphasize the opposite of this Ramban and Rambam. And they tell us that mitzvos are, or at least should not be viewed as, refinement and being for us. Let's start with the famous Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. You have it below. Ha'omer al kansi bo yagiru achamecha mishaskin oso. Someone, he's leading the Amud, he gets up to Davin and he starts adding praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does he add? So he says, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a rachaman. Al kan tzipo yagiru rachamecha, his mercies extend even to the bird, such that there's a mitzvah shiluach hakein to protect the bird, that the bird doesn't get emotionally hurt when taking away its young. Somebody says that, mishaskin oso, we silence him. And the Gemara says, my time, I'll come. What's so bad about that? Pligi ba tre amorai b'ma'arafa. So it's a debate. Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida. Chad Amar, Mipnei Shematil Kina B'maisa B'Reishis, because they're drawing attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim on birds, but what about other Rios? Chad Amar, Mipnei Sh'osa Midosa Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim, Veinan Alexeros. They're making the Midos, Rashi says it means mitzvos, of Hashem as acts of mercy, and they're not, they're just Xeros. So we're going to focus on this second answer. What is wrong with saying Al kan tzipor yagiru rachamecha? Because you're turning the mitzvos of Hashem as though they are acts of rachamim, and they're not. Let's take a look at how Rashi explains that. Midosav, mitzvosav. Behu lo lerachamim asa. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't do it lerachamim. El lahatil al Yisrael chukei gzeirosav. Laudi Hashem avadav. Beshomer mitzvosav. V'gzeiros chukosav af bedvarim sheyesh l'satan la'akom l'hashav aleihem v'lomar matzorech b'mitzvah zu. So this Rashi certainly implies the Gemara, implies that mitzvos aren't expressions of divine mercy, as we saw before in the Ramban and the Rambam, but they are edicts intended to instill obedience, to demonstrate servitude. This Gemara certainly seems to be at odds with what we were saying before. So we're going to consider now three approaches to this question. Our focus is going to be in the third approach, the Maharal, but first we'll start with the Rambam and the Rambam. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim 348 is very bothered by this question. He reads the Gemara like Rashi, and he says, Taka, it's a Shver Gemara. And you know what he says? A very radical solution. He says, yeah, Taka, this Gemara is incorrect. What do you mean? How do you just say Gemara is incorrect? Says the Rambam, there's actually a debate in Chazal whether mitzvos have reasons. I mentioned before the Rambam believes that all mitzvos have reasons, but the Rambam acknowledges that there's two opinions in Chazal on this question. There is a view in Chazal that mitzvos don't have reasons, that they're chukim shechakakti lecha. And this Mishnah is going like that opinion. And that's not our opinion. We don't accept that opinion. So essentially, Rashi is correct in his reading of the Gemara. The reason why Al-Kansi Po Yagi Rachamecha Mishaskin Oso is, at least the opinion in the Gemara, that it's a gzeira, it's not rachamim. Osa mitzvosa shal kadosh baruch hu rachamim enem el gzeiros. That's against what we think is correct. Because we think mitzvos have reasons. And what's the reasons of mitzvos? For us. For us, to give us, to make us good people. And so this Gemara is incorrect, or at the very least, reflects a view that is not our view. Now, at first glance, I said before, there's a radical solution. Maybe it's not so radical, right? There are lots of times where we say, Mishnah is lo li b'del chasa, right? There's lots of Mishnahs we don't pass in like. The reason why this is very problematic, as the Maral points out, is because there's no machlokas here. It's a stam Mishnah without any disagreement. So how could you just say, well, because it goes against my mahalich, I'm going to just say it's a das yachid and we don't accept it. It's a stam Mishnah. It's not a das yachid. This is something that the Rambam actually does in a number of places, where when there seem to be statements in Chazal that go against his position, he says it's a das yachid without there being an explicit machlokas. And another time I'd like to explain how the Rambam does that. It's actually, he's doing something that's very powerful. And it requires biur, but not for today. For today, I want to see the other approaches, but that's how the Rambam deals with this Gemara. He says, we don't accept this Gemara. It reflects an opinion that is not our opinion. That's approach number one. Yes, Ellie.
So according to the Rambam, does that also mean we don't paskin like the Mishnah in terms of someone
that's a very good question, up and says, because in Mishnah Torah, he does
praises.
Yeah, it's a very good question, because and it's compounded, because the Mishnah Torah does paskin that. And not only does he paskin that, but he paskins the reason in a Gemara of their gzeros. So I hope also to get back to that. After we get through the Maral, we're going to go back to that question and try to figure out why he paskins this in Mishnah Torah. And what does that tell us about the nature of Mishnah Torah versus Mor Nevuchim and the goals and the agendas of each work? So it's a good question, because you're right, Eli. Mitzad Dinei Halacha, you can't just ignore a Stam Mishnah. So, but he seems to be saying hashkafically we do. So it's a very important question, and Bezras Hashem, we'll get back to it in a minute or 10 minutes. Okay. Approach number two is the Ramban. The Ramban says, no, we're misreading this Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara is not saying that the mitzvos are chukim just to instill obedience. The Gemara fully agrees with my Yisod that mitzvos are for us. Ha'omer Akansi Bu'yagiru Achamecha Mishaskin Oso is because you're saying it's for the birds. And it's not for the birds, it's for us. Right? I'll just read this line in the Ramban. Masha Amru, Lefisha Osa Midosa Shagosh Baruch Hu Racham Menen Al Gzeros, Lomar, Shalo Chas HaKel Al Kan Tzipur, the Lo Higiyu Racham of Al Oso Ve'espino, which is another mitzvah where we have a similar thing, that you can't shech the mother and the child on the same day. Shein Racham of Magim Ve'balei HaNefesh HaBehemis, Limnoa Milasos Bahem Tzarchenu. The rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not extended to the animal kingdom. Shem kein haya asar ashchita. If that's true, then shchita would be asar, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so concerned with the animal welfare, so Peter would be right. Aval tam ha-meniya l'lamed osanu midas ha-rachmanos v'shalo nis achzer. So like we said before, the purpose of the mitzvah is for us. It's to make us kind people. It's not because per se HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about the pain of the animal. And so what's the idea? The idea is very simple. Osa midosa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachman means the person who says, Akan tzibur yagi rachamecha, is saying that, look, Hashem is so merciful that he's worried even about the emotional pain of the birds. No, that's not the pshat in the mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be kind people, but it's not because of the emotional pain of the animals. And therefore, mishaskin oso. Again, how that relates to the Ramban from Parshas Bereishis is a very important question. I'd like at some point to get back to it, but we won't focus on that for now. Though we should note that in Bereishis, he does sound like, let's say, the mitzvah of Tzar Bali Chaim is because of compassion to the animals. The Maral rejects this as well. Again, he rejected the Rambam because Mechatesi, there's a machlokas, it's a Stam Mishnah. He rejects the Ramban because he thinks the Lashon of the Gemara isn't Meduyuk like him. Because what does the Gemara say? The Einan Elagzeros. In other words, the Ramban explained the Lashon of the Gemara, She'osa midosa shalkot shrachu rachamim. Right? That he got a good pshat. But what does it mean, the Einan Elagzeros? Einan Elagzeros implies that they're decrees, right? They're not acts of mercy. According to the Ramban, it's not the pshat that they're xeros. The pshat is, it's not for the animals, it's for us. Right? The Gemara should say, shows the midos of Kadosh Baruch Rachamim. It makes the midos of Kadosh Baruch Hazali as Rachamim for the behemos. The Einam Ela Rachamim Aleinu. They're Tev Rachamim on us. So the Lashon of the Gemara, the Maral says, is very problematic for the Ramban. The Maral also points out that Ramban's explanation doesn't necessarily address the details of the mitzvah. It doesn't explain why the Torah is only concerned in particular places, like the mitzvah to send away the mother bird, or again, Oso Vespino. It doesn't have the same thing for, let's say, Chayos. Why is it Oso Vespino only applies to behemos? There'd be nothing wrong with shechting a doe and a fawn on the same day. Now, if it's about us not being cruel, as the Ramban says, so what's the chiluk between chayos and behemos? Or why would you be machalik between, you know, if you did it 1 minute before shkia and the other one a minute after tzeis, it would be mutter. But if you did one in the morning and one in the afternoon, 10 hours apart, it would be usser. In other words, if the Ramban's pshat is correct, it doesn't address the details of the mitzvos. So that's why he rejects the Ramban. So what is the pshat in the Gemara? So the Maral says it's exactly like Rashi said, exactly like the simple reading of the Gemara. Let's take a look at the Maral. Again, I hope you had a chance to read this whole Perek Vav. If you didn't, you should read it after the shir, because we're not going to do it justice. We're just going to pick out little points, but let's take a look over here. Aval medivrei chachamim nireh she'ein lomar ki ha-mitzvah she'nasan Hashem Yisbarach b'shvil ha-mekabel shehu ha-adam rak heim gzeros mitzad Hashem Yisbarach ha-gozer al-amo gzeros kimo melech ha-gozer gzera al-amo ve'af ki ha-emes ki imashich mizeh mitzad shehu mekabel ha-gzeros she'gozer alav ha-tov ha-tzlacha she'enach ve'atzlacha. It's true. The motivation, these are gzeros from a melech. Of course, if you follow the melech's gzeros, it'll be good for you. Mikol makom, ein haschalas hagzera shenitna letov ela mekabel. The haschala, the purpose, the motivation of the gzera is not for the tova of the mekabel. Now, at first glance, I think this notion is very shocking. It seems like a God is a tyrannical dictator whose laws are not meant to benefit his people, though the people do benefit. But that's not what it's about. That's really what it sounds like. And how could that be? Agav, the Ramban says, the Maral says, so what about the psukim that the Ramban quotes, right? The Ramban Lamaisa quoted a lot of psukim that told us that we benefit. So the Maral answers that these psukim aren't telling us the purpose of the mitzvos. They're informing us that observance of the mitzvos do benefit, right? I'll just read you that line. Masha Amar Kasov, Vayitzaveinu Hashem Elokeinu la'asos hachukim ha'ela l'tov lanu. En ha'perush hu yizbarach tziva mitzvos b'shvil l'heitev lanu, like the Ramban says, she'en zekach. Rak hu yizbarach tziva aleinu k'melech ha'gozer. Rak she'agzera ha'zos hi l'tov lanu. L'chayoseinu k'yom hazeh im nekayim ha'mitzvos. It is l'tov lanu, but it was not done in order to be meitev lanu. The lo shetchila sagzeira hi l'tov lanu. And the Maral brings additional rayos to this besides the Mishnah and Brachos. For example, he says that the halacha of mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu is a reflection of this. What is mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu? So Rashi explains that the idea is that the pleasure derived from the performance of a mitzvah isn't considered hana, because mitzvos are an ol al tzavareinu, l'mashal. If I take a neder not to have hana from a shofar, I may still use that shofar to fulfill the mitzvah, because performing the mitzvah isn't hana. And the Maral claims that shows that mitzvos are not for our benefit. Now, when we read on in the Maral, we'll see that he clarifies it. It's not exactly the way it sounds like from the beginning, because he seems to concede that it may very well be that mitzvos are for our benefit. And really what he means to say, though, is that we can't relate to them as such. From our perspective, and the perspective of halacha as seen by mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu, we have to treat mitzvos as laws that we must observe because we were instructed. Why do we do them? My grandmother. So when I was a little kid, she would ask me to do all sorts of things, especially things that, you know, my parents didn't say I needed to do. And I acted inappropriately, and I would sometimes ask her why. And she would always say, Azay, that's why. Azay, that's the way it is. No answers. Why do you do it? Because I told you. That's it. Our attitude towards mitzvos has to be that way. Our attitude towards mitzvos, why do we do them? Because Hashem said, they're a yoke. It's something I do, whether I like it or not. In reality, it might be for my benefit. But that's totally not manifest itself in the way I think or act. I have to accept all malchus shamayim, which means I am unconditionally bound to do what he says. And that's it. So that's the pshat of the Maral. It's a little bit reminiscent, I think, of another very famous pshat that the Maral says. The Maral famously asks, as later in Tiferes Yisrael, that there's a stira. On the one hand, we say kafa lein har kegiges. On the other hand, b'nei Yisrael said nasa v'nishma. So why, in what way did we accept the mitzvahs? Or put it differently, if we already said nasa v'nishma, we're happy to accept the mitzvahs of Kadosh Baruch Hu, why did he have to stick the gun to our head? And the Maral writes that had we simply voluntarily accepted the Torah, then our attitude towards the Torah might have been rooted in voluntariness, meaning to say, okay, I said yes, and what? Maybe if a later time I said no, I'll say no. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sticks a gun to our head, and he reminds us that our duty to fulfill the Torah and mitzvos has nothing to do with our having it for the fact that we happen to accept it. Because if we had not accepted it, that would have been our end. And the Maral is telling us that, you know, we shouldn't look at the Torah as some type of self-help book. It's God's charge, and we have to submit. And our will is absolutely meaningless in face of his. So are mitzvos for our benefit? Maybe. But that has nothing to do with the nature of our observance. There's a nice quote that I put here from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He's not quoting the Maral, but I think it sort of reflects this idea that the Maral is telling us very powerfully. A Jew profoundly believes that God's law was given for man's good. and he acts and is bound to act upon that belief. But he does not flinch, even when it induces pain. Obedience would mean little if it were purely selective. Yet obedience is the least which the Jew, both as a created spiritual being and as a recipient of the divine Torah, owes and prefers to God. His assessment of what he's ready to give is made in light of the ultimate knowledge that even the whole world, as Yerushalmi would have it, does not equal in value one item in the Torah. So again, to summarize, the Maharal and the Ramban do disagree about how to interpret this Gemara in Brachos and interpret a number of statements in Chazal. But I think they both could agree to these two fundamental principles, which are number one, mitzvos are intended to benefit us, and number two, that our attitude towards mitzvos cannot be, I observe these mitzvos because of my benefit, but rather my attitude has to be that I do them because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and I must do what he told me regardless. And I think this is very much at the heart of the story of Akedas Yitzchak in our Parsha. And the Rav presents this in a very powerful way. And it's so important, I think, because again, it is very different than the modern outlook towards mitzvos. A religious system demands sacrifice. The Rav writes that he is repulsed by the approach in the modern world that Torah is some type of self-help curriculum that banishes loneliness and yields happiness and a good marriage and the like. There are all sorts of drushes of how wonderful Torah is and how happy it will make you feel and how great your life will be. But that is not why we observe Torah. We don't observe it because it makes us feel good. There are times when religion is pleasant, and there are also times when it's not. And that's what Akedas Yitzchak shows. So let's just take a look at this source over here from the Rav talking about Akedas Yitzchak. I'm going to read it. You have it here in Hebrew. I'm going to read it in English because we're running out of time. I recoil from all the talk that goes round and round a single topic, that the observance of mitzvos is beneficial for digestion, for sound sleep, for family harmony, and for social position. The religious act is fundamentally an experience of suffering. When man meets God, God demands self-sacrifice, which expresses itself in struggle with his primitive passions, in breaking his will, in accepting a transcendental burden, in giving up an exaggerated carnal desire, in occasional withdrawal from the sweet and pleasant, in dedication to the strangely bitter, in clash with secular rule, and in his yearning for a paradoxical world that is incomprehensible to others. Offer your sacrifice. This is the fundamental command given to the man of religion, the chosen of the nation, from the moment they revealed God, occupied themselves in a continual act of sacrifice. God says to Avram, take your son, your only one, whom you love, Yitzchak. That is to say, I demand of you the greatest sacrifice. I want your son, who is your only son, and also the one whom you love. Do not fool yourselves to think that you will, that after you obey me and bring your son up for a burnt offering, I will give you another son in place of Yitzchak. When Yitzchak will be slaughtered on the altar, you will remain alone and childless. You will not have another child. You will live your life in incomparable solitude. I want your only son who is irreplaceable. Neither should you think that you will succeed in forgetting Yitzchak and remove him from your mind. All your life, you will think about him. I'm interested in your son whom you love and whom you will love forever. You will spend your nights awake, picking at your emotional wounds. Out of your sleep, you will call for Yitzchak, and when you wake up, you will find your tent desolate and forsaken. Your life will turn into a long chain of emotional suffering. And nevertheless, I demand this sacrifice. Clearly, the experience, which is rooted in dread and suffering, ended in ceaseless joy. When Avram removed his son from the altar at the angel's command, his suffering turned into everlasting gladness, his dread into perpetual happiness. The religious act begins with the sacrifice of oneself and ends with the finding of that self. But man cannot find himself without sacrifice prior to the finding. So we are Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, which means we do no matter what. It's hard. It's painful. We do things and the rest of the world looks at us like we're crazy at times, and we can't explain to them why we do it because they'll never understand. And we still do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Yes, it ends up in ultimate redemption, everlasting happiness. A person will emerge victorious, but only if he begins from a place of submission. If his attitude towards mitzvos are that they're a yoke, and you have to do them whether you like it or not. And that's what the Maharal is saying. The Maharal is saying that, yes, it is true that mitzvos are something that are for us. They refine us, they purify us, they give us eternality. All those things are true. But that's not the way we look at mitzvos. So that's the Maharal. So there's two things that I said we would get back to, which we still haven't yet. The first is going to be dealing with the Mishneh Torah versus Mor Nevuchim, and the second is, what about it, all the statements in Chazal that indicate that when we do mitzvahs, we're giving something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I guess we'll do that order. So first, the question of Mor Nevuchim versus Mishneh Torah. So we mentioned before that the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says that the Gemara in Brachos reflects an opinion that we don't accept, that mitzvahs don't have reasons. The problem is that in Mishneh Torah, he paskins this. Let's take a look at in Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Tes. Mi she'amar b'tachanunim, mi she'richem al kan tzipor shelo likach ha'em al habanim, o shelo lishchot oso, bes beno, b'yom echad, yirachem aleinu, kiyotze ben inyan zeh, mishasken oso, mipnei she'mitzos elu, gzeres ha'kasav hein, ve'enan rachamim. She'eno, she'ilu hayu mipnei rachamim, lo haya matir lanu ashchita kolikar, right? The Ramban that we saw before is just quoting this Ramban, actually. So mitzvos elu are not rachamim, because if they were, then shchita would be aser. So what are they? They're gzeros. What's a gzera? A mitzvah whose reason we don't understand, or certainly is not intuitive. V'chein l'yarbe b'kinuyim shel shem v'yomer akel agadol agibor v'anoira v'achazak v'amitz v'izuz. Likewise, we're going to see in a moment why it's v'chein. Likewise, you may not add to the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shein koch b'adam l'agia sof shvachav ela omer ma she'amer Moshe Rabbeinu. So we satisfy with what Moshe said, akel agadol agibor v'anoira, because once we're starting to add, we would have to go on forever. You couldn't possibly praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully. So here in the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam notes that the purpose of the mitzvah can't be compassion for the animal, then shechita would be aser. So what is the reason? These mitzvos, these meaning shiluach hakein, osav esbino, are chukim, mitzvos that we can't fully understand. And likewise, you can't add expressions of praise to the Amida, because ein koach ba'adam magia sof shvachav. So by linking these two halachos, I think the Rambam implies that they reflect the same root, namely man's inability to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in terms of our ability to praise him and understand his mitzvos, So how does this relate? And just to add one more stira to this, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, when he goes to the Tamei HaMitzvos, and he tells us the reason for Shiluach HaKein and Oso Vespino, he says, Taka, the reason is compassion on the mother. Exactly the reason that he rejects the Mishnah Torah. So there's a double stira, really. Stira number one is that in Mishnah Torah, he paskins this Mishnah, and in Mor Nevuchim, he says this Mishnah reflects a view that we don't accept because we hold there are reasons for mitzvos. And stira number two is in Mishnah Torah, he writes that the reason for Shiluach HaKein can't be compassion from the mother, because then Shechita would be Aser. And in Mor Nevuchim, Mitaka says that's the reason for the mitzvah, compassion for the mother. So how do we understand this? So I'm going to give one answer today, briefly, and maybe in the coming weeks we'll give a more deeper answer. But the deeper answer requires more of a hakdama. So we'll give a straightforward, I think it's correct, but not the whole thing today. So I think the answer, the simple answer, is that this discrepancy reflects two different attitudes towards Tamei HaMitzvos and Mishnah Torah and Mor Nevuchim. And to appreciate that, we have to remember what Mor Nevuchim is trying to do. Mor Nevuchim, let's give another example that maybe will help us out. Another stira about Tamei HaMitzvos between Mor Nevuchim and Mishnah Torah. Mor Nevuchim, very famously, the Rambam writes that the reason for Karbanos is to wean the people off of their attachment to idolatry. And in Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Me'il, at the end, he writes that Karbanos are an example of a chok. Now again, chok doesn't mean that there's nothing about it we could understand, but he emphasizes that Karbanos are chok. These are not things that we could understand. And as I said, in Mor Nevuchim, he gives a reason. So I think the simplest way to understand that is that these contradictions reflect a different agenda in these two works. A halachic work must be rooted in sources. They have to be definitive. There can't be counterexamples. A philosophical work is much more speculative. So in his halachic work, he can't ignore a stam Mishnah. And the simple reading of the Gemara in Brachos is what he presents in Mishnah Torah. A halachic work can't speculate about the reasons for mitzvos. And it certainly can't introduce historical, sociological, biological reasons for mitzvos, and especially ones that imply that that seem to undermine the eternity of the mitzvah. In the Mor Nevuchim, which was written to an educated audience, the Rambam feels that there's value. Again, we haven't yet explained the value that we're going to do another time, but there's value to speculating about the historical, sociological, biological reasons for mitzvos. And he's aware that doing so won't undermine the normative law. So there's really two perspectives that we have to have. One perspective is that we can't really understand the mitzvah. It's beyond us. It's a chok. And nevertheless, there's some value in understanding what we can of the mitzvah. And that's the purpose of the explanations in Mor Nevuchim. In other words, we should try to understand what we can understand, and that's valuable, but it's not complete. It's still a chok. And that's what he says in Mishnah Torah. So now you'll say, in a chanami, but there's only one reading of the Mishnah, right? If the reading of the Mishnah in Brachos in Mishnah Torah is right, then it's wrong in Mor Nevuchim. Could be that the Rambam says that's not so simple, just like we sometimes explain a pasuk al pi pshat and al pi drash, and they could both be right, even though they're contradictory. We could explain the Mishnah al-pi pshat and al-pi drash, as it were. The Mishnah and Mishnah Torah is explained al-pi pshat, and that's the halacha that follows. And al-pi drash, he gives a different explanation in Imar Nevuchim. But basically, Imar Nevuchim, he had a different agenda, and he followed different rules, and it allowed for speculation. It allowed for presenting ideas that had counterexamples, because there's still some value in understanding what we can of mitzvos. Again, what the value is, we haven't said. We're going to leave that for next year, Pastor Hashem. But there is some value in trying to understand mitzvos, even chukim, even when they're counterexamples. And that's what he's trying to do in Gemar Nevuchim. And in Mishneh Torah, he's saying Mishneh Torah is a place, it's a halachic work. It only could present that which is proven, that which has sources, that which has no counterexamples. And that's the perspective. So there's a different goal in Mishneh Torah and Mor Nevuchim, especially with respect to Tamei Mitzvos. And that respect reflects a difference. I should also point out that there are many who critiqued Rambam's approach to Tamei Mitzvos and Mor Nevuchim. The Rav Hirsch and others said that we basically don't accept the Rambam's Mahalich to Tamei Mitzvos. The Rav said that it was never really accepted. And the Rav's and Rav Hirsch's critique is basically that in Mor Nevuchim, he tried to explain mitzvos from the outside, as opposed to Mishneh Torah, where he tries to explain mitzvos from within. If you want to explain mitzvos from within, you have to look at the details of the law. You have to look at the halachos. Mor Nevuchim is a, his goal, his agenda, is to show how mitzvos could be explained, how they make sense, how they're rational, from an outsider's perspective. And that's what he does. And the Rav at least held that that approach is wrong. The Rav says that if you want to try to understand mitzvos, you have to do so from within. In other words, it has to be built upon the halacha itself, as opposed to looking at mitzvos from without. I will parenthetically point out that the Tosas Yantif on that Mishnah Perkei, Mishnah Gimel, suggests a different answer to try to deal with the Yishuv. He writes, Dafka b'tfila kasha omer b'tfila machlet hadavar. The problem is saying in tefila, omer al-kansi bor yagi rachamecha, because by saying it in tefila, especially by adding it to Chazar Sashatz, so you're giving a definitive reason. The Rambam isn't saying that that's the wrong reason. He's just saying that you're not allowed to say it in tefillah. You want to speculate what the reasons are, you can. That's fine for an Tamei Mitzvah shir. But the place isn't in Chazar Sashatz. There, since you don't know for sure, since there's counterexamples, you have to stay quiet. Now, that's a good answer, just it doesn't actually address the stira. Because in the end of the day, you still get a different pshat in the Mishnah and Brachos and in Mor Nevuchim, right? In other words, if in Mor Nevuchim he would have said, really we think the purpose of mitzvos, the purpose of the mitzvos for the compassion of the animal, but the Mishnah Brachos is just saying you're not allowed to do it because you're in Chazar Sashatz, so that would be great. But he didn't say that. He said the Mishnah Brachos reflects a view that we don't accept. So it's also Yantif, a good biur, but it doesn't really address the stira in the Rambam, which is why I was suggesting that the stira is that there are different agendas to the different works, and there's a value to sort of understanding mitzvos from the outside, and that's the goal of Mor Nevuchim, and there's an a value of understanding mitzvos and halacha from the inside, and that's the goal of Mishneh Torah. Okay, so we'll stop here for now. I know Max has a question, which I'll take now. And Bezos Hashem, we'll continue with this topic of Tamei Mitzvos next week. Obviously, we left off with a lot of unanswered questions, which I hope we can get back to. So have a good Shabbos, everyone. And don't forget to sign in if you didn't do so yet.
Shabbos, thank you.
Good Shabbos. Thanks. Go ahead, Max.
Okay, so I mean, it might be that we're going to talk about this later, but I just sort of wanted to ask on the pshat in the stira between Mishneh Torah and the Mor Nevuchim. Essentially, I really hear the Rav's opposition to the Rambam's approach in the Moed Nevuchim. I don't really understand why it wouldn't just be called intellectually dishonest. It's very much. I don't really know what it means.
Why is it intellectually dishonest?
So if he holds that shot in the I don't fully understand what it means, and it could be I didn't see it inside, but I don't understand what it means to not even just say it's a stira, just like look at something that seems not even to say that it's a hope, but like, well, yeah, I don't understand. Like, I don't really know.
I don't understand what you're asking.
Are you basing the understanding of the Moed Nevuchim's approach on his own sort of like, I haven't fully gotten to the Moed Nevuchim, but does he give an introduction to say, like, I know that he says within it, like, there may be contradictions within the Moed Nevuchim, but I don't know if he says that there are contradictions between the Moed Nevuchim and the Mishneh Torah. Like, what does that mean? Like, how can we just assume that there's a different goal of the book? As such, he can give a different explanation than he did somewhere else.
It's very simple. When I'm speaking to different audiences, I might give different explanations. They could both be true, and they're appropriate in a different context. If I'm speaking, I could give a shir in Chumash on Pshat and on Drash. And I explain a pasuk in my Pshat shir one way, and in my Drash shir a different way. And somebody could say, I'm inconsistent because I gave two different biurim in the pasuk, but the answer is there's no inconsistency. I my goal, I have a different agenda in different places. The agenda of Mishneh Torah is very different than the agenda and the goal of Moreh Nevuchim. And with there is a value, and we haven't talked about what the value yet in Tamei HaMitzvos of Moreh Nevuchim is, but if there is a value in explaining what we can understand in mitzvos, even if we're aware that we don't understand the whole thing, so there's a value in doing it. But that type of speculation has no place in Mishneh Torah, which is a halachic work. So in everything in Mishneh Torah has to have a makor. There's no place for speculation.
It has to fit.
There can't be a counterexample. A kasha on a speculative theory isn't the same thing as a refutation. Sometimes it could be. The fact that there are aspects of a mitzvah that I can't explain doesn't undermine the value of my explanation, especially if my explanation doesn't claim to be the whole thing. It's trying to give a perspective that we could get.
Okay.
So in Moreh Nevuchim, he's trying to say, look, I can explain Tamei HaMitzvos in a rational way that someone who's looking to understand the value of mitzvos will be able to understand. That's something that's valuable. Again, it's not the whole thing. Be'ezus Hashem suggest a theory as to really what's behind it. But leaving that aside now, there's some value. It's like Lamashal. And I think it's deeper than this, but we'll just give a mashal, right? If you're speaking to someone who isn't observant, who has not yet bought into Torah, and you're explaining why we do a certain thing, so you'll need to use terms that they can relate to. And you might give a certain explanation that isn't complete. It doesn't address certain points, but you're giving it to them because that's something that they could relate to. And therefore, there's value in doing it. I don't think
I wasn't saying that there isn't value. It's more that I sort of...
But it's not intellectually dishonest either, unless you claim that this is it.
So, is the language with which the Rambam uses in describing the time of the mitzvah, this is it, or does he say one way to look at it is such? Because I
have a chance to take a look.
I would love to take a look. I'm speaking from my own personal experience, which is obviously not like universal, where perhaps there are people who ask me certain questions, and I'm sure that as rabbis will approach this a lot, where we will, like, there are writings like the Rambam where we'll explain, like, oh yeah, like, look at this is a great explanation of it. And then, like, you know, they might come back and be like, well, I found this in the Mishnah Torah, so how do you work that out? And you can explain it the way that you did, but if he's so explicit about saying that it's a chok, which has its own sort of like set of like, it doesn't mean any, like we don't understand this. And then he says somewhere else, we do understand it, it means this. Like, especially like audience wise, like I would have a hard time sort of like, I personally would have a hard time saying, like if I heard thought of that idea and then I found the Mishnah Torah, I would have a hard time saying my idea again from the first one. Like,
well,
personally.
Yes, but again, you have to read the whole context.
The problem comes from
taking things out of context, and also under the Rambam's approach to a chok is not a mitzvah that we can't understand. It's not the way he defines a chok.
Okay, so how does he define a chok? We can explore that further later on.
Look at the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, among other places, and you'll see how he defines a chok. Nobody defines a chok as a mitzvah without a reason, and nobody even defines a chok as a mitzvah that we can't understand at all. That's why Rambam or Sefer HaChinuch or the like give reasons for chukim.
Okay. So I would imagine that would be an important piece of explaining the Rambam. No?
So the Rambam, the Chazal explain a chok is a mitzvah that's not intuitive. Meaning to say, again, there's more on this, but that's what the Chazal say. A chok is a mitzvah that had it not been given, we wouldn't have come up with it on our own, as opposed to a mishpat, where these are things that we could come up on our own. Now, just because I couldn't come up with it on my own doesn't mean that I can't understand it once it's been told to me.
No, I agree.
It might be that I can't understand it fully.
Wouldn't that explanation of what a chok is be a much easier and cleaner explanation of like the difference between the Mishnah Torah and the Rambam? And that I understand that perhaps, like you could perhaps then easily say, and I feel like I shouldn't speak anymore because I don't know the full context, but.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. We're going to get back to this Besos Hashem next week. In the meantime, you should, try to learn some of the Makoros that are on the sheets. More.
Okay.
And B'siyata Dishmaya, we'll get back to it.
Okay. All right. I apologize for asking the question.
No apologies.
Okay.
Not at all.
Have a good Shabbos. Okay.
Good Shabbos.
I'll see you Sunday, I think.
Yes.
So hopefully I'll have what to say. Okay, bye-bye.
Ah, Givaldic. Yeah.